Welcome to the Undead Walking Podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. Now, please welcome your host, Sarah Beth Pollock.
Hey everyone, welcome to another edition of the Undead Walking Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Beth Pollock, and I am joined today by another very special guest here to talk with me about The Walking Dead 1104. And that guest is none other than our friend, Johnny O'Dell. Johnny Hello. O'Dell, it is so great to have you here. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, it's so good to be back in the Walking Dead world here. It's just a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Hey, it's my pleasure too. And it's always so much fun to chat with you, but there's so much going on and you are someone who is, you know, who's always been kind of I just talked with Jeffrey Kopp yesterday, who was who manages the site, The Walking Dead World. And, you know, I called Jeffrey a torchbearer for the show, and you've been a torchbearer for the show too. I mean, you've been involved and kind of been there for fans, and so it's always good to have you have you sharing your thoughts about the show.
Thank you. Yeah, I love the fans. I love the show. Even though I'm not with Skybound anymore, I'm still very much invested into the show. So happy to talk about it.
Well, that's awesome. So real quick, just to kind of get everybody up to speed, so you're not at Skybound anymore. What are you doing these days?
Fantastic question. I left Skybound for 6 years. Had a wonderful time there and loved the people. I am now at the Shorty Awards. For those who don't know, it's an award show for those who do really great work on social media, whether it be charities, influencers, great brands that help other people, things like that. So I'm running their social media right now. I also have taken my React compilations, which some people who follow me on Skybound are familiar with, to my own channel, which is vainly called Johnny O'Dell. So I tried to find a name, and I polled people and I didn't like any of them. And I realized there was a lot of YouTubers out there who just have their name as the channel name. So I just went with that. So there you go.
Well, that's awesome. And I know like your reaction videos are the best. Anywhere.
Oh, you're too kind.
You get the best of the best. And it's always so much fun to see what you come up with. But I have to agree. I think that keeping it to, you know, the Johnny O'Dell show is the best way to go, because then everybody knows you're not Mr. Website. You're you. It's the best way.
I mean, it's nice to be independent, gotta say.
Yeah.
Highly recommend.
Well, I'm so glad to know that things are going well on your end, and I'm eager to get into this episode of
Let's
The Walking
do it.
Dead. First off, what have you been thinking about the season so far? So we're going to be talking, we're not going past 1104, just for everybody who's listening, because we're not allowed to. So we're not going to be going, or I'm not allowed to. Johnny can, but I'm not allowed to. So we're going to stick to 1104.
Funny enough, so I would always get episodes ahead of time. It was one of the perks of the job. And when I had the job, they had only filmed through 1104. So after this week, I am just like the rest of you, and I have to watch it the same time you guys do. I don't know any teasers. I don't know anything that happens after episode 4. So, which is a bummer, but I'm also excited to be back on that weekly cycle where I can look forward to things. I hate having to hold in secrets. So I don't know what happens after 1104. So I have all the thoughts on this episode.
I love that, and I have to agree. I mean, it's fun to be able to see stuff in advance, but it's also really not fun when you can't talk about anything. So that's why lately I haven't been watching anything. We have the first two episodes of World Beyond, and I have not watched them yet, even though I've had them.
Oh wow!
I'm one of the holdouts because I just can't deal with if you do it too early, and then it doesn't debut until October, and it just gets a lot. It gets to be a lot. So I've been kind of holding them off just because I really want to get as close as possible. And I'll do it before the 20th. That's the embargo date, but it's like, I just can't do the advanced thing anymore. Cause the suspense is just terrible.
Well, I don't blame you. I think that's a good strategy, honestly.
Yeah. Cause there is nothing like, I think I'm getting a little sentimental because it's the last season of The Walking Dead, but there was something really special. And you know this better than anybody, to everybody coming together Sunday nights. You and I are both West Coast people, so we'd have to kind of pretend to be East Coast people, but you know, 6 o'clock here and 9 o'clock back East, you know, it was like a big event, you know, watching the show together. And it's not the same.
Half the audience has seen it and it's a bummer. And I totally get AMC's side. They want everything is moving to streaming and they need as many people to sign up for AMC Plus as possible. And so obviously they're going to dangle Walking Dead and their other shows to accomplish that. And it's just a business thing. They don't care that people aren't having as warm and fuzzy feelings as we used to when we could all watch it together, like you said. But it does, you know, it does take away. And I have a fear that the finale will be available a week early too. And I think that like the finale. And I think that if that's true, it's a tragedy. But they're also going to look at it and think, we're going to get a ton of signups because people are going to watch this finale early. So it's a bummer, but that's just business, I guess.
Yeah. And it's so hard, but it's also, you know, I look at it too, as it's the reason we're able to have this whole extended universe that's coming and the more content that, you know, it's not just the one show anymore. It's so much bigger than that. I do see that streaming is the path forward to having more of those things, to having, you know, mm-hmm. limited series and limited, you know, short one-off shows or what, you know, whatever, or even just stuff like Friday Night with the Morgans. Like if that was only, I could see that being a total AMC Plus only experience, and I get it. And that's, they can do it because it's cheaper to do it there than it is to do it on network these days. So it's weird, you know,
it's weird.
Double-edged sword. It's
weird. Yep.
So, yes. I mean, so I think I haven't heard anybody who hasn't been utterly perplexed by it. And by Sunday, I'm usually like trying to figure out what day it is because I can't figure out if we're talking about 11:03 still, 11:04, 11:05. I don't know what day it is.
We are on 11:04 rendition.
Yeah. So right now that's what we're going to be talking about, but,
yes.
Yeah. It's going to be crazy, but this is a big episode. I'm so glad that you're here to talk to me or talk with me about it because it's one of those episodes, you know, definitely got its start during the COVID episodes back in the early part of the year, mm-hmm. when we met Leah and fans wondered, would we ever see Leah again? And, the answer came out in this episode.
She's back and dog didn't skip a beat. Dog is, he's like, this is my owner. Sorry, Daryl. I am back with Leah.
And, you know, I think that was,
must
that
be sad was, for Daryl.
I know. And that was the thing that was so funny to me to see how quickly that happened. Cause I think anybody who has a pet who has, you know, a pet that, you know, maybe goes back and forth between families or houses or, you know, it's always so fascinating to see who they go to. It's like that. It's like that TikTok thing where the parents run in different directions and then, you know, they let their kids, like, which one is the kid going to follow? And it's like, now we know.
Yeah. Dog, you traitor. But no, I get it. I mean, that's the dream, right? That, you know, you could leave your pet years and years and years. You wouldn't want to, but if you did, they would come back to you. That's the hope, I guess. So good for Leah, I guess, in that moment, but sucks for Daryl.
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, there's a lot of suck for Daryl in this episode.
Yes.
It's not an easy episode to watch, but it certainly does give us some good insight into these new villains, the Reapers, that have been plaguing everybody since the end of the 10C, whatever the end of the COVID episodes. And we knew they were going to be the new villains. We knew that they were nasty, and we've heard over the past couple of weeks with the first episodes of season 11 that they're every bit as bad as everyone who describes them to be, and now we're seeing it, and we're getting a better sense. We got to meet their leader, and
yep.
Oh my gosh, their leader is so fascinating to me, and I kept getting this Apocalypse Now vibe, and
yeah.
It was so bizarre. And but also I had that and then Marlon Brando and the Island of Dr. Moreau.
Wow.
Couldn't get those out of my head. And I was like, I'm freaking out here. I don't know how I feel right now.
Yeah. Okay. Those are, I didn't have those comparisons. at first I thought that Richie Koster, when I got my screener a while ago, I thought it was the guy from Lost, but it wasn't. So I was like, who is this guy? But no, he plays Pope really well. I think it makes sense to do the Reapers. Some people don't get it, but in this point in the comics, they just did the Commonwealth. Like forever, it was like one villain era to another. And then the Commonwealth happened, and really it was just a lot of political drama. And I think Angela Kane looked at that and was like, that's fun. But also we need someone who wants to kill them. Cause I think people are a little bit bored of the zombies. Not gonna lie. I kind of am. I like when they're change up the zombies a little bit, the walkers, sorry. But you know, you've seen them, you know, a million times. So you need someone else. And I think, hot take, the Reapers are scarier than the Whisperers, because I've read the comics. I know what happens with the Whisperers. I know the main beats they're going to hit. The Reapers are unique to the show. I don't know what's going to happen. It's horrifying. So I'm scared of them.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And I definitely, you know, as you look at the hierarchy of Walking Dead villains, they are definitely up there, because they're, you know, a lot of the things that I've heard other people say about them, you know, is that we learned about their MO and we understand how they operate. And it's like, yeah, but I don't think we really did, because we're operating with some real crazy here. These are people that, you know, they have a system that they live by, but at the same time, it's like when you listen to what Pope says and you listen to the reasoning behind his modus operandi, and you think about what he's doing and why he's doing it, you realize that there's really nothing to that. Like, he basically, you know, whenever people start saying like, oh, God says this, you know, that's when you know you're in trouble, because when people think they're channeling God, it's really hard to say that that's not what, there's no argument to that. You're dealing with suffice to say, you were dealing with a very special layer, level of crazy in that situation.
Yeah. No, those psychos need a North Star. They need to be able to sleep at night and think to themselves, oh, this is a religious thing. I'm not evil. I'm just doing what, you know, well, I thought this, so it must be someone put this thought in my mind. Oh, it's God. It's like, no, you're just nuts. Yeah, very high Nexium vibes from this group.
Yes.
If anyone watched that horrific document, it was a good documentary, but horrific show. But Jesus, yeah, very scary. I don't know what to make of them. I mean, they're throwing people in fires. It's a lot. They're throwing, you know, their own people into a house of fire. It's just a lot of fire going on.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I mean, as soon as you started talking about, you know, baptism by fire and then cleansing by fire, I mean, you knew that one dude was gone. And it was a little reminiscent of some of the Savior's situations and things we've seen at the sanctuary, but it's on a whole different level, because Negan Negan might be a bad dude, but he's not crazy. He's mm-hmm. he's pretty stable in terms of his, you know, and that to me, I mean, again, kind of going back to the hierarchy, you could have about 15 different hierarchy rankings of Walking Dead villains. And when it comes to stability and you know, being in control of their mental faculties, Negan's at the top. I mean, the governor was batshit crazy. There's no denying. I mean, he was the closest to not being, but he was. He had aquariums and stuff. Like, I was a little off.
That did happen. The
termite people were eating each other, so they had some issues. Also, you know, happened. Alpha was definitely having, you know, she definitely had some issues, even though she thought she had it all worked out in her head. And, you know, here's Pope, and he's like, I've got this whole plan, but it really doesn't make any sense. And I think what was really fascinating about what I really liked about that scene where he throws, I think the guy's name is Bossy, throws Bossy into the fire.
Yep.
What I liked, what really stood out to me, if you watch the reaction, so as soon as he throws the guy in the fire, everybody else in the group start to get up and then they sit right back down and try to go back to what they were doing. And that mm-hmm. says a lot about what's going on in this group. Like, there's a lot to read in that.
Yes. They had to basically just not emote at all. And Leah struggled with that this episode too, trying to find the balance of, you know, even she got like uncomfortable with how much they were waterboarding Daryl. So but you don't want to seem too uncomfortable. You want to, you know, you can't be soft.
Which makes me wonder, you know, because I think now with Leah being back, that's obviously going to change a lot of, things, because she's been gone, and we know that, that Daryl and Leah had an actual physical relationship, and he looked for her for a long time and mourned her, her loss, mm-hmm. you know, on a level that we haven't seen with other characters. So it's interesting that they're back together, and now he's starting to see who she's running with and maybe why she couldn't get away, what the implications would have been if she had tried to escape. And maybe there's a possibility that she, if they could get out, that she might not be as bad as the rest of her group. I don't know. I keep puzzling mm-hmm. over this, because I feel like there's a little more intention than just having her there and then having her die in the next episode. There's something coming with this.
I feel like it's trying, if it's, they follow the usual beats, it would be him and Leah probably, you know, finding some way to overthrow this cult thing, the Reapers, and them getting out alive, or maybe Leah dies in the process, but still gets to destroy them. We'll see. I'm glad that we only spent just part of the episode with Daryl in the prison, and we end the episode with him out of it. Like halfway through, he's out of it, because I was like, oh God, it's going to be season 7 all over again. They're not playing Easy Street, but I can't do like 8 episodes of Daryl just getting tortured and then eventually having some cool breakout moment. I'm glad they're like, okay, we've been here before. Let's just move past this. All right, he's out. He did the trial. And Daryl's smart, you know, he's going to play along as long as he can and hopefully find a way to get him and maybe Leah out, and definitely Dog. So we'll see.
Yeah. Which, you know, it then kind of begs the question, because, and this is one of those things that I know, I know a lot of people, I really, in truth, I have not looked to see how people have reacted to this episode, because it's always hard to tell, because of, you know, if you watch it on AMC Plus, people are trying to be kind of polite about the spoilers. And so I'm really waiting to see Sunday what the big reaction to this episode is and what people think about it. And I'm curious, because Daryl is going to be put into a really interesting situation with Leah. If they do make it out, what happens next? Where does that go? Mm-hmm. And does it, you know, I'll be totally honest with you, because I've been thinking about this a lot. I'm curious, because of where Carol is and because Connie's still missing and Daryl and Carol are having there's a lot of tension there. And obviously I'm not a shipper, so I'm not saying this with any sense of relationship thoughts on my mind, but it does beg the question, if Leah escapes the situation, she might not have anybody left, because they will probably have to kill everybody to get out of this situation. Mm-hmm. So where does she go? If she stays with the group and stays with Daryl, everybody knows who she was. I mean, anyone he talked to in that back in that time period would know that he had been with her. Carol mm-hmm. certainly knows about it. So are they using this to set something up that's bigger than right now? Does this somehow, you know, lead into something with, you know, maybe the spinoff that, going back to this, you know, that they keep talking about Daryl and Carol being soulmates. Is this the thing that kind of shows, like, yeah, they're not really together? Is this where they're trying to kind of break that apart? I don't know, but I kind of think that it could be used as that moment.
Yeah, I mean, you know, everyone pictures Daryl and Carol riding to New Mexico in a motorcycle on the with the sunset. But, you know, who's to say there's not a sidecar with Leah just chilling? No, that won't happen. I don't know. Yeah, I think there is obviously a bigger idea in mind of what they're going to do. I think Leah is really interesting. It's someone that Daryl is actually romantically involved with. No offense to the Carol shippers. You know, that's still a possibility. But it is weird that it would take this long if it does end up happening. I ebb and flow on that every day. You know, I flip flop. I don't know how I feel about it, but The Leah thing is a real thing, but you know, she's joined this evil group and I don't think Daryl's like super into that. So we'll see what happens. She'll have to prove herself to Daryl that she's not like this monster. And, you know, I don't know. I'm excited to see where it goes. Like I said, this whole season is a blank slate. Usually by the time we're in episode 4, I've seen through like episode 13 or something. So I'm like, I'm way ahead of it. And it's hard to like engage with people because I know where it's going. So I can't really give like genuine like reactions or feedback. But now, yeah, I mean, it's exciting. I don't know.
If you had to guess, what would you, what do you see the value of her character right now? Like what's the benefit of having her introduced as part of this group and the value of what she could do down the line?
I mean, she's highly skilled. She would definitely help their group. You know, it's a good question. I don't know if she could just integrate into that group. It's like but I mean, hey, Negan integrated into the group. So if he can do it, anyone can do it, honestly.
And Alden, he crossed over from being a savior to, you know, over. So there is, yeah, there is a little bit of precedent for you know, situations.
Yes. I still think at some point Leah will have to sacrifice herself for the greater good, whether that means the downfall of the Reapers, whether that means saving Daryl, whatever it may be. I don't know. I feel like she's on a short leash, but you know, maybe she'll be in the whole season. I can't say. I don't know.
Well, then that's the beauty of it is none of us know. And I think
that's
the interesting part, because there are a lot of different directions this can go, but it's certainly established that these Reapers are as bad as we think they are. Yeah, and you know, as long as Pope is in control, it seems, you know, when you get to that question, because I think one of the things that always fascinates me about the show, and because I'm with you, I mean, after a while, the walkers aren't scary. They're problematic, but they're not necessarily scary, because you kind of know that they're going to be out there. I mean, they're just there. There's no avoiding them, but yeah, that's what makes the villains so interesting. And so, you know, when you get into their motivations, that's when you have to start, you know, are they doing something for a purpose? And, you know, you could argue the saviors had a purpose. It may or may not have been misguided to them, but it did serve a purpose. The yep. Whisperers, I don't think really had a purpose. They were kind of just out there doing their death cult thing. So they didn't really have a purpose, you know, the governor was actually running this little civilization, but they were all, you know, that had its issues too. And God knows Terminus had a whole bunch of issues.
Yeah. Thinking about it, they're all kind of cults. Like cults have risen, like I think probably 4,000% since this apocalypse started. It's just like, yeah, that's a lot of people are just too weak or scared to do their own thing. So if some guy is like, follow me, you're like, all right. And then you do that for like 10 years. You're like, wow, I am in this. I am praying to this man. What is wrong with me? That's, I don't know.
Yeah, no, and that's what makes it so fascinating, because when you think back to our introduction to Leah, she doesn't seem the type to fall in line with someone like that. Like she didn't, you know, she had her military background, she had her history, she had all of those things. And yet, you know, she was before the big time jump. And so she spent all of this time, or at least a significant portion of her time, with this group. And, you know, there's also that really interesting aspect that she looked to be the only female there, which is an also kind of interesting aspect.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean she's not replaceable. I mean, literally set a fire and just hoped she would get out of it with Daryl. So
that's true. Unless he kind of figured that she would. I mean, maybe, you know, we don't actually know that she's, we don't really know much. I mean, she really could have been more in on it than these days. We don't really know anything in terms of, you know, spies and moles and people planted to do certain things. And I mean, I do want to think though, I personally think that she is not happy where she is, but I think you definitely get that vibe of someone who doesn't want to be where they are, but doesn't know how to get out.
Yeah. I mean, it's clear she's going to try to get out.
Yeah. And so it makes you, it really makes you wonder why, you know, I think it's fascinating that they chose to kind of reveal all of the Reaper's kind of philosophies in this episode. I mean, normally we kind of, it takes a minute to get, you know, like, okay, this is what they stand for. This is why they are the way they are. And it was like, no, he's going to sit down and do a fireside chat with Daryl about, you know, the trauma that he's been through. And
yeah.
And it starts to sound really crazy until you realize, no, it actually is really, really crazy. It's crazier than you could have imagined. And now you're really in trouble. I mean, Norman Reedus does such a great job because he's just sitting there and he's sitting there and sitting there. And then pretty soon you just kind of see it click, like, that's what's going on. I'm in a really
He has severe PTSD and then became a mercenary and then decided to start this cult. But honestly, I mean, the war stories and everything, I don't know. I don't sympathize with him because it's like a lot of us have our own problems. We are all living in the apocalypse too. We're not and stuff. So I don't know.
Yeah. No, it's,
I don't care, Pope. Save your war stories, Pope. You're evil now. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. But he is one that I definitely, there's no coming back from him. He's a special layer of, or a special kind of crazy. And I really think that it will make it, it'll be really interesting though, to see how this all plays out. So that's,
oh yeah. He's going to get like super murdered at some point, probably by Daryl, or Leah. Leah would probably be better. But in the after thing, video that they do after the episode, Angel was saying that Richie Koster, like, you know, he had an idea up front of like what Pope was going to look and sound like. And they just went with it. They're like, yeah, it sounds great. And I think that's really cool. I am excited to see more of his character. He's, you know, insanely fascinating. Like I said, I love seeing the Whispers. I love seeing the Saviors, but if you've read the comics, you kind of know where it's going. But with this, just a surprise. So I don't know where he's going. I don't know what his motives are. You know, he teaches lessons in a really harsh way. Probably doesn't smell too good. I don't know. We'll see.
So kind of looking forward, you know, since we have no idea what's coming out and what's going to be happening.
Yeah.
It's interesting to think that, and this is something we've seen in different iterations before on the show, but what's going to happen? What do you think is going to happen if Maggie and Negan get close enough to this camp? Because they're moving towards Meridian. They're trying to get to this place. So it makes sense that at some point they're going to cross paths and then they're going to see Daryl there. And that's going to be, you know, because Daryl's kind of setting up Negan in a funny way. Like he's
right.
You know, so he's been doing some politicking himself, and it will be a very, I think that's going to be a fascinating thing if they see him in there, because it will, the way Pope reads people, I feel like you couldn't keep the reaction from your face fast enough for him not to see the familiarity.
Yeah. I do want a scene with Pope and Negan. I'm sure we'll get it. Jim Barnes and Angela Kane have been writing a lot of the season so far, and they've been doing a great job. Even though they've been giving Negan lines from, like, you know, 2018 Twitter, like the, you know, living in your head rent free. I was like, I'm sorry. No one was saying that in 2010 when the world fell apart, but okay. No. I don't mind it. I mean, hey, you're by yourself for a while, you know, you're probably making all sorts of slang, so it's possible. But Negan's just been on a roll, you know, telling Alden, you know, why don't you stand on your tippy toes? Or, you know, in episode 3, where he's like, oh, so we're going to go towards the screaming. Cool. Just the way he's being written, it's definitely a younger voice, but I enjoy it. So I'm excited. As far as him and Maggie going to the Reaper camp, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I'd love for them to infiltrate it somehow and just be like new recruits or something. It's, you know, there's a million possibilities. But we'll see. I mean, I like that they're going between this story and the Commonwealth story. And I think that'll become more stark as we keep going. So we'll see.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it was a good move, kind of looking at the way the pacing of the season has been so far. I think it's a good move to have a kind of a unique story blending with the Commonwealth story, because at this point, I mean, we know that all of the stories that are coming in we know that the comic book stories have to be rewritten. Like, you can use them as source, but there's a lot of things that can't happen anymore. So it makes sense to kind of build other stories in as they're going. So, you know, as other stories go, this isn't a bad one. It's kind of nice to have something refreshing and terrifying mixed in.
Yes. And I am worried because the Commonwealth storyline, spoilers for those who haven't read the comics, it does lead to a major death, major death. The biggest, I actually don't want to spoil it. But that person is not in the show anymore. So I wonder what they'll do for that. I still think they'll hit the story beats of meeting Pamela, getting settled into the Commonwealth, meeting Yumiko's brother, seeing what he's up to. Hopefully there's Sebastian in there at some point. And then at some point, I'm sure the Commonwealth will visit Alexandria. Be like, wow, what a dump. But we'll, you know, it's, I'm just really looking forward to the season as a fan. Gotta say. And I encourage anyone to read the comics because it will be different than the show. You're not going to spoil yourself too much. So I highly recommend it.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. And before we wrap up, I am curious because I think that this is, you know, I think everybody's kind of forming their own opinions at this point, but I think it's a fascinating thing. So I was talking with Nadia Hilker and Angel Theory this week about—
Name drops.
We were talking about how they, you know, the people in Alexandria, you know, Magna and Kelly, like they're aware of the Reapers, but you know, Kelly's had an interaction with them because, you know, she was there when the dude blew himself up.
Yeah, but, that was a lot.
Yeah, there was a lot to take in. But right now they're dealing with, you know, the possibility of starving to death. And it's really hard to think of anything when you're in that situation and things are so, so bad. And it definitely, without, you know, without having knowledge of like where the story is kind of moving to, it does that threat of starvation is definitely moving the story in a direction because something has to change because that can't keep going the way it is. So do you know, what are your thoughts on Alexandria? Do you think that they're going to have to abandon Alexandria entirely? Do you think it's you know, what are your thoughts for everybody else? Like, do you think that the food that Maggie and Negan are out trying to get is going to be enough to kind of sustain that while the Commonwealth thing is happening? Or do you think we might see something completely different? Because there are a lot of possibilities that are opened up right now.
Great question. I think Alexandria will stick around in the short term, but I think by the second trimester, I think we will have left. I think the Commonwealth, I think Pamela and the gang will go to Alexandria, scope it out. And then I think some of that crew will probably go back with them to the Commonwealth, while others are, you know, find something else. I've been saying this for years, just move. I mean, there are thousands of private communities, private neighborhoods around the country. And yeah, sure, a lot of them have probably been overrun or, you know, stolen from, et cetera. But you don't have to stay in Alexandria. They're like, wow, these walls keep falling. It's like, well, then find a place with actual walls. Like, there's iron gated walls. I mean, maybe it's all to shit. I don't know. Just, have you tried? So I think Alexandria needs to go at some point. I feel like we've been there way too long. I mean, it's kind of jarring to go from like one season at the farm, season and a half at the prison, one season on their own, and then like five seasons in Alexandria. You know, it's a lot. So Alexandria did its purpose, but I think it's time to say goodbye. That would be my guess. And also, the Reapers, as horrible as they are, they're actually, you know, they're helping with the starvation problem because they keep murdering all of Maggie's friends, which I think is just, you know, it's sad, but that's less mouths to feed, honestly. And, you know, so thank you, Reapers, because, but I'm also, do they mention it? What, can they not plant stuff? Like, that's how you make food. No seeds?
That's what's weird. I mean, I was
plant stuff.
See, I was thinking because I'm very much not a fan of the kill the horse thing because the rations they found were old, and I did Google. I Googled to see how long those things last, and they're definitely on their way out if they have
MREs. Yeah,
yeah, they don't last.
They expire. They're like 10 years old. I think like they're good.
They're not good, and no canned food is going to be good at this point either. So it's not like you can just go find whatever's left. But the thing that bugs me is what has been going on. What's, you know, where are the people in Oceanside? What's going on there? And even if Oceanside isn't there, there have to. I understand that the Whisperers chased away all the wildlife, but they didn't scare away the fish. Surely yeah. there must yeah. be fish.
And how now far is Oceanside again? Like, do we know? Like, do they? They only go there when it's convenient. Like, there's a whole ocean.
Yeah, yeah, and
just fish.
Especially now that they, and that's why I was kind of bugged with the whole kill a horse thing, because it seems like that's such a finite resource that you might need those horses to get to a place that has fish where you can have more food. You know, you
right. need the horse yeah.
to get a meal, but you could have gone there. Surely there are lakes. Surely there are, you know, streams and things that they could go and do.
I think I think technically we're right about that. You're definitely right. But I think they use that as a story device to just show how desperate they are. You know, I think they're like, we need to do something desperate, and we're not going to go into cannibal territory. So they're going to have to kill a horse, which is like this beloved creature that you definitely need in a zombie apocalypse. But, you know, Oceanside's got to be what, a few days away, like a few hours. It's not really clear. Tara walked back in just a few days, I think. So with the horse, you probably get there in a day. And what happened to, like, where's Luke? Where are any of those characters? Where's Cindy? Wait, did she die? I don't know. I don't remember. I don't think so.
No. And that's, and there are a lot of people who are missing. There's a lot of people that are unaccounted for. And then there's a whole community that's basically unaccounted for, because we don't know what the status is in Oceanside. We haven't really seen anything at Oceanside since, God, what, beginning of season 10, maybe?
When they were doing their training.
Yeah. And so it's there, and obviously they can get back and forth. So just go get some
fish. Why aren't more people by the ocean? It's just infinite food. I don't understand.
Yeah. You would absolutely think, and, you know, obviously we're splitting hairs, because this is this is how they move the story forward. But these are things that I wonder, because it just seems like if you need food, you just go to the place. Like, that is an infinite resource.
Yes. It does seem obvious. Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems obvious, but I would just like to point out, I would last like probably a total of like 40 days in the apocalypse. So I can't really throw too many stones here, but just go to the ocean.
Yeah, no, that's that would be my guess. But hey, we both live near the ocean, so it's a little bit different for us, because it's, you know.
That's true. People are like, do you ever go to the beach? I'm like, not really. Like, sometimes. Like, it's a pain in the ass to go. It's like an hour away with traffic, and it's like $30 parking, and then it's like shoulder to shoulder, like everyone's there. You're like, this sucks. Am I supposed to be having fun yet?
Yeah.
Like, let's get a margarita. That'll be like $25. Like, Jesus, can we go home? I'm never coming back.
Yeah. And plus there's sand, and there's, you know, sand and
places. Yeah. Can I get a rebate on my rent because of the property taxes? It's like, well, you live next to mountains and a beach. That's why your rent's so high. It's like, cool. Well, what if I don't go? Can I get a refund? Okay. Can I pay Missouri prices?
Yeah. There you go. There
the
you
answer
go.
Is no, by the way.
Yeah. See, I'm about a block from the bay, and, the thing that strikes me about this, because it's where I grew up, and it's, there are all these signs down there, because you see people go down with their fishing poles and they're fishing, and there's all these, they fish right next to the sign that say don't consume anything you catch because the water's polluted because it's a bay. And I'm like, yeah, I don't think anybody would last. So maybe, I mean, ocean's a little bit different, but all the people who would go to the bay in the apocalypse to fish probably won't last long either. So I kind of think we're all screwed. 40 days might be, I don't know,
right.
I'd be 40 days. I don't think I'd be there.
Oh my God. You're right.
But, you know what, this has been, it's been so much fun chatting with you, and I'm so glad. It's a fun episode. There's a lot that kind of, I think it opens some doors for what's going to be happening. And now that we know that you don't have, you know, you have no idea, just like we have no idea.
Free.
I think we need to do this. We need to do this again and talk about it more.
100% down. I'm 100% down. This is the best. You're one of the best people out there. You're so talented, and more people should listen to you and follow you. But I really appreciate you having me on. This has been great. And I, like I've said a million times, very excited to see where the season goes.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's nice knowing that we're not, we might be halfway through this first trimester, but there's still a long way to go.
Oh my gosh.
Before
this horrific baby that we're going to birth by the end of this. It's going to be something. We'll see.
Baby spinoff.
Baby spinoff. Oh my gosh. All right.
Well, cool. Well, thank you so much for being here, Johnny. And thank you to everybody who listened to the episode, thank you. And just a reminder to subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts and leave a review. You know, hit us up on Twitter. If you have questions that you want addressed on the podcast, you can hit me up at Sarah Beth Pollock. And definitely make sure that you go out and follow Johnny. Follow Johnny's YouTube page because awesome work.
Thank you.
And we want to support all of the awesomeness that's happening, and especially when it's the Walking Dead family.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much. This is always a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. And I just want to remind everybody out there, thank you so much for listening. And as always, stay safe, wash your hands, and watch out for those walkers. Thanks, everybody.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.